Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to invest in yourself by tuning in today. As the name says, our listeners, like you, are business creators. We have entrepreneurs, we have small business owners, we have local business owners, we have marketing and business coaches, we have the folks who help others create their businesses, and on the other side of the coin, we have the do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore episodes, and discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show or click the big button in the sidebar on our website. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. And fresh content will be served to your iTunes every single week, including our entire library, which consists of nearly 150 episodes going back over 3 years. We have a wealth and a library waiting for you. Speaking of wealth, today we are going to chat about real estate. Every so often, I love to have somebody on the Business Creators Radio Show who can share with us on real estate investing, monetizing real estate, and those types of things, because I have found that a lot of our business creators view real estate, whether it's flipping houses or acquiring properties for Airbnb or going into just straight up realtor work, is a great way to diversify their income portfolio. We find these episodes to be very popular, and whenever I have the opportunity to bring somebody on and they have something interesting and something new to share with you, I always try to accommodate. And for that reason, I basically bent over backwards to make sure that we could get Whitney Nicely onto our show today. And just to tell us a little bit about Whitney, Whitney started flipping houses in 2009 with her parents, and in 2015, when Whitney was planning her wedding, she flipped 6 houses. So while she was planning her wedding, she flipped 6 houses, which shows you that this is really not that challenging to do if you have a system and a process in place like any business creator would. In 2014, she decided she was ready to flip by herself, and she found it to be really liberating. She currently owns 15 houses and over 3 apartment complexes. Now she teaches people across the country how to buy a home if their credit is low, how to make extra money flipping houses, and how to maximize the profits if you own land or real estate. So, Whitney, welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. This is going to be super fun.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is. Now, I just read off your bio there, and we got a little bit of a sense of your journey and how you started with flipping houses and how you turned that into a profit center for your business and your life. But could you tell us a little bit more, for those of our listeners who have not really had a chance to get to know you yet, a little bit more about what has led you, some of the story that's led you to the intersection of the brilliance and passion where you are today?
Well, I am the 4th generation in my family to be a trucker. Okay, my family owns a dump truck company, and we've been in business since 1939, still family owned, and most family businesses don't ever make it to the 4th generation without selling or having somebody else come in or anything. But I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Okay, my mom and I are in a competition, I think, to see who can have more LLCs.
Nice.
So I come by this small business, start your own, do it yourselfer, very honestly.
Wow.
So in 2007, I graduated from UT, Knoxville, with a degree in communication. And I'll tell you that my mom thought I could talk just fine before I went to school, but they refined me. And unfortunately, even when I got out of college, I still sounded like a redneck when I talk. So I think that's been able to help me, though, more than it's hurt me.
Right. So basically, I captured that. I mean, you have kind of a down-home folksy feel to how you speak, and I think that makes you very relatable. You're not coming across as pedantic or, shall we say, for lack of a better phrase, a stuffed shirt or anything like that. You seem like somebody where if I were looking to buy a house, I would want to buy a house from you. If I was looking to rent an apartment, I would want to rent one of your buildings. Because I know, having been having rented a few apartments in my day, I know that it was largely the personality of the management person I was dealing with that made my decision for me.
Yes.
And
I've got plenty of personality for three of us.
Well,
and I give speeches a lot, and I've been told that I'm not a very boring speaker. I may be talking about something kind of boring, but I'll make it fun and entertaining as well.
That's why we brought you the Business Creators Radio Show, because we always have fun here. Now, there is one other thing we need to do before we start getting into some of your topics, because there's a couple of things you want us to cover, and our audience knows what it is. Their audience has been tuning in for 3.5 years for the Business Creators Radio Show, and so we can hear the drum roll in the background. My cats are getting all excited, by the way, and here we go. Here in the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses, and a lot of our listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement anything that anybody says they need to do to create and grow their business, except for time and money. This is a question we ask every expert who appears on our show. And what I like is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of ways the question is interpreted. So, Whitney, how do time and money impact what you're going to share with us today?
Well, if you want like a way that I save time and money, I can tell you a free website that's online that I think every business owner should be using every day.
Well, it's up to you. You can answer the question however you like. Remember, what we look for is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of different ways our experts interpret the question. Our listeners who go back into our library on iTunes can find that we ask everybody this, and we get all kinds of different answers and ways that the guest expert thought they heard it, which is why we ask the question, even when somebody might ask, well, what the heck?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the website is If This Then That, ISTTT. I think it's ISTTT.com.
Right.
And it's incredible. I had a VA, a virtual assistant, who is out hunting real estate, hunting houses, hunting deals for me to buy. And she would spend an hour or two just going through Craigslist or going through ForSaleByOwner.com or going through Zillow.com or just going through all these websites for 2 hours every day and compiling this list of people for me to call. And then I would have to call the people. And then I would have to set up an appointment to go look at the house. And then I would have to do all this other stuff. So if you go to ISTTT.com, you can set up recipes to do that for you. So I had my VA set up a recipe that says that if a house in this zip code hits Craigslist or ForSaleByOwner.com, it emails my VA. She, in turn, sends another email back to them that explains who I am and what I do and how they can sign up for an appointment to talk to me.
Wow.
So in those same 2 hours, I'm booking houses to go look at instead of just finding houses to want to go look at. It's free.
I gotta tell you, in all the years we've had the Business Creators Radio Show, and I've been asking this question, you are the very first one to actually directly answer the question by showing us how to do it. I mean, we have heard every theory, every platitude, every inspirational message out there, and they've all been fantastic. In fact, I collect them. I mean, I'm going to be putting out a greatest hits of our time and money questions at some point here, but as I said, everybody interprets it differently, and your interpretation was fantastic. Now, I know that we got a lot of people listening here, and we're moving kind of fast. We're still near the top of the hour, and I know that you have a lot of information you're going to give us, and I think we have some people who are in the audience who are sitting on the edge of their seats. They got their pens, and they got their notepads out. And let me tell you, so do I. Not only am I the host of the Business Creators Radio Show, I'm also a student, so I get in the audience with our listeners with my pen and paper looking for the slight edge for my business and my lifestyle, just so everybody knows. So first of all, go ahead.
I guess you'll put me at the top of the greatest hits list now too, right?
I gotta admire the confidence. Okay. I can see why you're so successful in real estate. This is fantastic. All right, so we're going to go through a number of different topics today. There are 5 or 6 areas that Whitney would like us to cover, and then we'll probably add a couple more on based on some of our listener feedback. But let's start with investing in real estate for retirement. And why is this a smart thing to do?
Well, I'll tell you, you can start with land, you can start with houses, you can start with apartments. There's going to be more money made in apartments or mobile home parks, but there's also more invested. So I tell a lot of people to start with land, because land could be $1,000 or $1,500, and you could get an awesome return on your money. And from land, you learn the process, what it's like to go to closing, what it's like to submit an offer, and what it's like to be a landlord. But from land, you just start adding zeros to the end. It's the same process. So it's one system, and if you start small in land, you can grow it to millions of dollars very quickly.
Right. So what we're saying here is the land itself, for lack of a better phrase, comes cheap. But it's what you do with the land is where you really make your money. So you're not looking for the immediate return. You're looking for what happens to the land after you pick it up. So $1,500, and I know this varies around the country, but let's just say in your part of the world, how far can $1,500 go to get you some land?
A couple summers ago, on an online auction, I bought half an acre of industrial land. And across the country, land is in basically a pyramid, okay? Agricultural is the bottom, then residential land, and then commercial land, and then industrial is the top of the totem pole. Okay, in industrial land, you can do basically whatever you want to, and that's countrywide. So I bought a half acre of industrial land, which is very important to know how it's zoned, for $1,500. I mean, tax, tag, and title, all in, all done, $1,500 invested. And that's another thing, is a lot of people think you need $100,000 in cash to get started in real estate, and you don't. You need $500, you need $1,500. And if you don't have $1,500 right now, save $100 for 15 months and then go buy you some land. Okay, so I bought this half acre of industrial land for $1,500. And after I bought it, I was downtown flirting with the codes officers, because that's kind of what I do in real estate, is go hang out with guys who can help me. And they got to looking, and in 1992, way before I was started in real estate, way before I cared about this little piece of land, the city came through, and there was a driveway that separated my land from my neighbor's. It was actually a road. But since it was just mine and my neighbor's, the city decided they didn't want to keep it up, so they just gave it to us. And it's deeded that the right side of this road is mine, and the left side is my neighbor's. So I presented this to my neighbor, and I said, hey, man, it looks like you are driving on my side of the driveway. And they were like, no, 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 little real estate girl. This can't be true. We've been here since 1992, and nobody's ever told us anything like this. It can't be true. And I was like, well, fine. So they had a survey come out. They had their attorneys. There's no telling how much money they spent to find out that they were driving on my side of the driveway.
Oh, boy.
So they called me back in a couple weeks, and they were like, hey, little real estate girl, how would you like $250 a month for your part of the driveway?
Wow.
I've got $1,500 invested in it at this point. And I was like, hold on, let me think about it.
Yeah. Now, did you consult your attorney on that to make sure that accepting that money would be a good thing to do? Did you talk it over with your husband? Did you take a lot of long walks, soul searching, deciding whether inviting this extra money into your house because of where the driveway was positioned was a good idea?
I didn't have a husband at this point.
Okay.
So I did not have anybody to consult. I did have a brother, and I called him, and he was like, yeah, take it. And I said, okay, fine. But when I called my neighbor back, I said, okay, I'll take it, but I want you to also pay my property taxes every year, and I want you to be in charge of the maintenance on the driveway. So if it needs gravel or grading or anything, it's your puppy.
Right.
And my taxes are like $30 a year. It's not much, but that was my negotiation, is that I wanted them to pay my taxes and the upkeep. I clear $250 a month every month for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I know $250 a month may not change your life, but it may make your car payment, or it may make, you know, you could put that $250 on the principal on your primary house and pay off your house 10 years faster. Or you can do like I do, and I use it on my hair and manicure and pedicure every month.
Right.
So you could use that $250 however you want to. What I would really encourage you to do, and what I really do with it, is I keep it. I keep it in my account, and then every time I see a piece of land for $1,000 or $2,500, I know I already have it, and I can go buy another piece of land, and I can charge it $500 a month on rent. Or I can, you know, get up to, I've got 5 acres at one lot now. I charge $1,000 a month.
Wow.
I pay $5,000 for it. So you can see it doesn't take long to compound that $250 a month before you have some bigger money. You can buy some bigger lots, and you can get bigger money back in every month.
Wow, that's nice. And
so you don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't have to start with $100,000. Please do not pay off your primary house and then start investing in real estate. Save up a little pocket change now, invest in real estate, and ride it out through your retirement years. And retire early.
Well, here's what I want our listeners to hear. There's a few things you gave us in terms of truth bombs and things for us to understand. We all hear these, that there are these courses out there that are targeted toward business creators, how to invest in real estate with no money, and how to invest in real estate with other people's money, and how to become a real estate titan with no money down. And what Whitney here has done is basically just shown you the secret behind that. I mean, $1,500 in this day and age is not a lot of money. And as she said,
exactly,
if you don't have $1,500 right now, just put away $100 a month, which really, when it comes down to it, is going out for lunch one less day a week is
exactly
what it comes down to. That's really where you're going to get your $100. Just go out to lunch one less day a week, and you will,
yep,
have your $1,500, maybe even in a year or less, if you just take all that money you were,
yep,
going to spend and sock it aside. And as far as, let me just ask one follow-up question here. What does somebody do with industrial land?
I'll tell you, my neighbor is a Fortune 500 company, okay, because I knew what I was buying. I wanted industrial land. I didn't want residential land next to an industrial zone piece of land, or I'd have to get it rezoned, which isn't a problem. It's another $1,500, but you need to buy for what the neighborhood will allow. And my neighbor is on the stock market, and they have the city contract to collect all the recycling, and they take it to this plant right beside me in the city limits, and they compact it and put it on trucks and haul it out to the processing plant.
Right.
So it's not a landfill next to me, but it's where all the recyclables go to get compacted to be hauled out to wherever they take them to change them from cardboard to paper or whatever they do.
Okay.
So I knew they were my neighbor. And then on the other side of me, I have a salvage yard, also zoned industrial. So worst case scenario, my plan when I bought this was to either sell it to one of them, because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. You'll make way more money if you can rent it over your lifetime than if you just sell it. Even if I sold it to them for $20,000 right now, that'd be great, but I'd have to pay taxes on it, and then it'd be gone. If I can rent it for $250 a month, and big companies like to rent property instead of owning it because they get to claim more on their taxes,
uh-huh,
by renting instead of owning. So big Fortune 500 companies, a lot of times they do a 100-year ground lease, or
right,
they'll do a regular rental, or they'll do something so they don't own it, because it looks better on their books to rent.
Right. Anybody who's read The Art of the Deal knows that Trump doesn't own the land under most of his buildings, but he has leases on them. So the question becomes, what are his grandchildren going to do when a lease has come up?
I'm sure he's got somebody to figure that part out.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to say that, because that's one of the secrets you just revealed, is that the land and the building,
yep,
are two different things. And you have all these skyscrapers,
yep,
and Trump Tower is just one of hundreds of examples where somebody builds this magnificent building. And Fortune 500 companies are the ones that build the magnificent buildings, but the land is somebody else's.
Yep. and they're sitting back in their rocking chair or on the beach just waiting on that rent to come in.
Right, right. So every month you have this skyscraper of a building, and the owner's paying rent to somebody else for the privilege of the building just standing there. And you have somebody who owns that land who's not going to give that land up for anything, and maybe that's $250 a month. Who knows? But that's $250 a month. It's helping pay for the car. It's going toward the mortgage. It's paying for the mani-pedi, whatever you want to use it for. Right. So
I'll tell you also, I'm in East Tennessee, and most people relate East Tennessee to Sevierville and Dolly Parton. Well, Dolly Parton and the Partons are a big deal in Sevierville now, but, you know, 60 years ago, they weren't. There was another family in charge of everything, and this other family still owns most of Sevier County. Well, this exact thing happened. The family is the Ogles, and they owned everything. Well, they got mad at their grandkids, so they changed all of their ground leases for $1 a year.
Wow.
So their grandkids are collecting $1 a year on multi-million-dollar pieces of property that they can't sell for another, you know, 150 years because Grandpa got mad.
Wow.
So that works both ways.
That tells you, show up for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So let's dig into this retirement thing a little bit more. And why are people starting to add real estate to their retirement portfolio?
Well, the stock market's boring. You pay some dude in some ivory tower to manage your money, and all he's really doing is making money himself.
Right.
So people don't like that. I don't like that. I've got a stockbroker, and I hang out with him, drink some beers on the weekend. But I think he's a boring kind of guy, you know? I would much rather see $100,000 out my back door or drive by it on my way to work every day and know that I'm making money off of that. And I control that. And if I buy it right, you know, in real estate and kind of in the stock market, you make your money when you buy it. But the thing about real estate that's different from the stock market is me as a peon stock market investor, all the real money has been made by the time I even hear about it. Okay,
right.
The real brokers that are up there that are doing that, I can't compete with them. But here in Knoxville, even against all the other real estate investors here, I can compete with it because I've got a little honey hole that nobody else likes to invest in. So I can buy everything that comes up over here because nobody else is even looking.
Yeah, that's
it. I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I'm a millennial. I'm 31 right now.
Right.
And millennials are at the perfect opportunity because we've got the time and the energy right now to be buying real estate, but we're lazy and we don't. I mean, I'm setting myself up to retire by the time I'm 40, whereas my friends are just sitting around like, man, I don't really know. And I'll tell you another thing is my friends have parents who have real estate investments. And the reason I say my friends are lazy is because they could go to the rental houses with their parents. They could study under their parents. They could figure out the system. But instead, my friends' parents are calling me, and I'm buying my friends' inheritance because they're not showing any interest.
Well, hell, I mean, I'm not going to say anything publicly on the Business Creators Radio Show, but I know that when my parents move on to the next world, there's going to be a little something for me. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but believe me, I'm cognizant of it.
Yeah. Well, my friends aren't. They're way
right.
too busy doing whatever it is, and their parents call me because they know I'm all about real estate all the time, and I have been buying my friends' inheritance.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Wow. Well, you know, the opportunity is either there or it's not. I know that, again, I'm not going to get into, you know, what my parents invest in or anything like that, but a story that, but there is one story that I do know about, and it's okay for me to share it because they don't actually own it. I grew up in the country myself. I grew up in a rural area, so that's something you and I have in common. And at the end of the road where we lived, there was this little patch of land, funny you should mention this, that somebody had bought a long time ago. And somebody put up a bunch of trailers on it. There was one house, and the house has been sitting there for 100 years. And in front of it, there's this huge flat piece of land. And right now, I think they have either 8 or 10 trailers. And then this one guy turned his trailer into a house like some people do. And my dad had the opportunity to buy this piece of land in the late 1970s. And I think he told me that he would have paid like $250 for it. Now, yeah, adjust for inflation, we're probably close to the $1,500 you mentioned, adjusted for inflation. And he kicks himself to this day that he let that go. And then 20 years later, and 20 years later, he had a chance to buy the land again, and he let it go again. But I get the concept, which is he doesn't have to have anything to do with those trailers. All he does is leases the space. The land is cut up into lots, and each one has a trailer on it. So you got your water hookup and your sewage hookup. You know, they wheel the trailer in, they screw them on, they plug in the electricity and the phone, and that's all you got to do.
Yep.
Other than that, just sit back, collect the rent, and whatever, you know, responsibilities you have in terms of providing the utilities you choose or you're mandated to provide for your tenants if you want to use it for trailer parks. But that's a great reason to buy a piece of land, especially if it's the kind of land where you can envision someday people wheeling in a few trailers.
Well, I'll tell you, trailers are a very touchy subject because there's a lot of codes people that are trying to get rid of trailers. Like there's some that are grandfathered in, they've been there since the 70s, whatever.
I know.
But there's a lot, I know in my county, you can't just find 20 acres zoned correctly and have the political pull to get it zoned for trailers.
Right.
You could get it zoned for apartments and put the same income people in there for apartments, but it's a lot larger investment. So trailers, I'm trying to buy a trailer park this year. Like, that's my goal, is to buy a trailer park this year.
Right.
My friends are trying to buy their primary house, and I'm trying to buy a trailer park.
Right. Right. I see what you mean. So, yeah, I mean, trailers is something that's way beyond the scope of our interview, and I'm glad you filled that in. But I'm just wanting our people, based on what you've shared, is to see some of the possibilities. Some people are looking for that huge real estate deal that's going to just knock it out of the park and turn them into instant millionaires. But from what I'm gathering from you, really doing this the right way and turning it into a source of income and a foundation for retirement is like dripping water against a stone, and eventually you make progress.
Yes, absolutely. And you're only going to get 10 houses if you buy one,
right?
And then you can buy another one, and then maybe you'll buy three.
Right.
My first year, I bought the land, and then the next year I bought more land, and then the next year I was like, you know what, I'm ready for a house, so I bought three houses. Then last year, I bought like 12 houses. My brother called me in April this year when we were doing our taxes, and he called because I'm partners with him on most of these houses. All the houses, I'm partners with my brother. All my apartments, I'm partners with my husband. But the land is just mine, okay? So my brother calls me in April, and he was like, do you know that we have 15 houses? I was like, you're kidding. I thought we had more than that. And he's younger than I am, so he's sitting there going, why do we have 15 houses? And I was like, they make money.
Right.
And that's another thing too, you know, my brother and I have 15 houses, and we each live in one of my mom's rental houses.
Right. That's smart.
Because Robert Kiyosaki will tell you that a house is a liability. It is not an asset unless it brings in money.
Right.
So our 15 houses are assets because somebody else pays for those. And I argue with my husband over this all the time. I think Robert Kiyosaki is right because if I am responsible for making this payment on this house, it's a liability. If it's making me money, it's an asset. And my husband says that no, bankers say that the house is an asset even if you live in it. Whatever, we can argue it all day long.
Point. And what I'd like to also mention is for people who want to buy up a bunch of houses and rent them out, is we have a big culture shift that's been happening in this country for a long time where people aren't buying houses like they used to. People are more likely, at least in some areas and within some professions and some cultures, income levels and types of work that people do, to rent a house versus buy a house. And there are some benefits to that. If you rent a house and something breaks, you have a landlord who comes in and fixes it. If you rent the house and you decide after a year you don't want to be there, or maybe that neighborhood goes to heck or something like that, well, you just wait out your lease and then you just sayonara, baby, you're out of there. Or maybe you're not 100% decided what you're doing with your life, or you want to maintain flexibility because you got a career that's really going places and you don't want to have the opportunity of a lifetime show up in another city and you got to pass it up because your damn house won't sell. Your worst case scenario there is you just keep paying the rent until the lease is up, or you pay the extra money to break the lease. But either way, you're out of there, and you're not stuck with a house on the market while you've already moved on.
You're absolutely right, and that's the other reason that I say millennials are lazy. By and large, my people, my age, we will not buy houses like the boomers did.
Right.
We will not buy houses like the greatest generation did because we're lazy. We don't know how to fix the sink. We don't want to call the plumber to have him come out here and meet us and take an hour off of work, okay?
Right.
We just want it done for us. Just call the landlord. Let them figure it out.
Well, here's how I look at it, too. Because I'm an entrepreneur, I know how to fix the sink. I mean, hell, I know how to decalcify a toilet, and most people don't even know what decalcifying a toilet means. They don't understand that term. But if you live in a hard water area, you better know what it means. You're not going to flush, because I used to live in a hard water area, and I had to decalcify that bad boy every 3 months. It's very easy to do, but not everybody even understands the phrase decalcify the toilet versus doing it. It's something, I mean, it takes about 5 minutes of your time, and the entire process is about 3 hours, but still, I know how to do it. I also know how to change a hot water heater. I know how to fix the, I know how to fix the vacuum cleaner. I know how to do basic HVAC work and things like that because my dad taught me. Doesn't mean I want to do it, though. But I can.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so also bear in mind there are a lot of people out there who do know how to do it, but they'd just rather pay somebody else, and why not pay you?
Exactly.
Right.
And these are the people that, you know, they want to go out, they want to have all this fun and all these stuff, and I know that, it, especially in my generation, it's very popular to have a six-figure online business.
Right.
And that's great, but those people had to start somewhere.
That's right.
And a lot of us don't have the patience to wait 3 or 4 or 5 years to hit that six-figure mark. We want it immediately. And I think that's why we don't buy houses. You know, we're scared of a 24-month cell phone contract. How are we going to sign up for a 30-year mortgage?
Right, exactly. Right, precisely. I mean, I don't have a cell phone contract. But, I mean, on the other hand, I'm not the type of person who changes cell phones very often. I'm probably one of the few people you know that got a cell phone in 1999. My first cell phone was in 1999, and I had the same phone number for 15 years. And
I did not get mine in 99, but I do have the same phone number since when I got it.
Right.
I think 01.
Right, yeah, right. And the reason I changed the number is because I moved to Las Vegas, and I didn't want some Pittsburgh number anymore. I wanted a Las Vegas number. I wanted a number in my home. So it was just a matter of, settling in to get a phone number that's local to here. I mean, it was kind of a psychological thing, but I could have kept that other number if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? I just didn't want to. I wanted a break. I wanted a new start. I wanted a new chapter in my life, and that 412 area code that I brought with me across three time zones was just an anchor to something I wanted to cut. So I went to the cell phone store and had it switched and good to go.
You know what? You talk about a cell phone. I bought a building yesterday that has a cell phone tower on it. Do you think that thing's going to be useful? It has I think it has 55 years left on the ground lease.
Right.
Do you think it's still going to be useful in 55 years when I come to renegotiate it? Or do you think the cell phone industry will change by then?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Seeing as I don't know anybody personally except for my parents and my grandfather to have a landline anymore, I'm thinking that cellular is a way to go. The apartment I live in right now, because I'm one of those folks, I don't want to own a house because I don't want to be tied down. So the apartment I live in, it's got all the jacks in almost every room. It's got more jacks for a landline phone. It's got one in the kitchen. It's got them in both bedrooms. It's got two in the living room. It's got one in the master bathroom, for crying out loud, where you can plug in your landline phone. I'm thinking about getting a landline phone just so these jacks don't go to waste. But then again, I don't want people calling me anyway. So, but see, the point is it, with all the infrastructure that's designed still for landlines, it's built into the houses. You find something like Whitney just described with a cell phone tower attached to it, and you could even potentially, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you could at one point or another have different cell phone providers and play them off against each other to see who pays you the best rent.
And you can do that with billboards too. A lot of people don't know this, but if you have land that touches an interstate, you may have 30 acres of useless land, except there's one high spot and you can get somebody to rent the high spot for a couple hundred bucks a month.
Right.
To put a billboard on it. Maybe a couple $1,000 a year. So billboards and cell phone towers are an awesome way to make money off raw land that people just don't consider, but it's part of our world.
Boy, am I glad I have you
but
here.
You just have to...
You're talking about so much more than flipping houses. You're showing people some of the inner
of
real estate. Because, you know, I have friends on Facebook who are into flipping houses and investing in properties and things like that. And they're cleaning up. I mean, they're doing great work with this. They're buying and flipping houses. They're buying apartment complexes. They've got 20 deals in various stages at any given time. I mean, they're doing it big. But what they don't share, because again, on social media, we only share our highlight reel, is behind all these houses and apartment buildings, there were plots of land and billboards and cell phone towers where they got their seed money.
Yes.
Right.
And driveways for $250 a month.
Exactly.
And pasture land that people rent for cattle to graze on. Absolutely. I love just land. And I'll tell you also that I flip houses just so that I can buy apartment complexes. Like, I don't even really like houses. And the name of my real estate firm is Whitney Buys Houses.
Right.
But I can make so much more money in apartments for the same deal. I mean, so in my area, I can buy a house for $120,000 that doesn't need any work. And I do creative financing and lease options, so I don't have to go to the bank and put any money down. Like, I do all of those things that people teach, too. So I get a house for $120,000. I move somebody in for $800 a month. Great, awesome, whatever. I also bought a 5-unit apartment complex that was fully rented, and I don't really like the F word in real estate, which is foreclosure.
Right.
But I did buy this apartment complex out of foreclosure for $120,000, fully rented, already rehabbed, $500 a month per unit. So that's $2,500 a month coming at me. And I did have to go get a mortgage for it because I didn't have $120,000 in my pocket. But my mortgage payment is $650 a month. Okay, so if I'd gone and gotten a mortgage payment and on my house for $120,000, my payment is still about $650. So I'm looking at the same property in about the same part of town. My payment is $650 a month on both of them. I have the same amount, $120,000, in both of them. But on one, I make $800 a month. So I'm clearing, what, $150 a month?
Right.
And on the other, I've got five people chipping in $500 a month towards my mortgage, towards insurance, towards property taxes. And, of course, Murphy. And Murphy's law is that anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Uh-huh.
So I've got two or three people just chipping in towards Murphy.
Right.
And I still get to clear in my pocket $500 to $1,000 every month.
Right.
Or I can keep it bankrolled so that when it's time to replace the roof, I don't have to come out of pocket with it. These people have been putting it into it all these years.
I hope you guys are taking notes.
I only flip houses to put money down on apartments. Like, I'll buy a house for $30,000. I'll put a lease option tenant buyer in it for $79,000. And I'm doing this right now. This is a real story.
Wow, I got to tell you.
He's going to cash me out at the end. He's cashing me out at the end of August, early September. He's been in there for 2 years, making an $850 a month payment. He's usually late, so he pays an extra $850 every month. So I'm going to get my $30,000 back that I had invested in this house, plus $30,000, $35,000, maybe closer to $40,000 by the time it's all said and done. And with that $40,000, I'm going to go buy a $150,000 apartment unit and put that $40,000 down on it and just start cash flowing. So I can retire, you know, bringing in $20,000 a month free and clear. And in Knoxville, $20,000 a month that I don't have to do anything for but wake up and check my account, that's good money.
Okay, you done now? Because what I've learned about Whitney here, this is what happens with folks sometimes when they're just a font of knowledge like Whitney is. Because Whitney is totally laying down the outline of how to do this more than anybody except for a couple of our guests here on a radio show that I've ever heard. And what I found with these types of people who are just the givers of the world, the ones that truly care about you and truly want to help you, is just when you think they're done, just when you think they've completed their sentence, they start with something else. So I'm not intentionally talking over her or trying to interrupt her or anything like that. I just legit think she's done. But then there's more. So for the next 20 minutes here, you may hear a few pauses while I check to make sure. But let's move on to something else here. I mentioned earlier that a lot of people in this generation, especially those who are who want to maintain their career mobility, will rent rather than buy, so they don't lose out on a career opportunity because they can't sell their house. I know people that's happened to. They had to pass up the career opportunity of a lifetime because they couldn't sell their damn house. So what do you do when your house isn't selling?
Call Whitney Buys Houses, because I love those people, okay? I'll come in, and if your house is worth $120 and you owe $120, that's cool with me.
Right.
Go on. Move on. I want you to make the payment for the next 3 months while I find somebody else that'll come in and take over the payment from me. And then I'll make some money up front because I'm taking on the risk of your house. But you go on. Go take that opportunity. Leave. I will take care of everything back here on the home front. And that's how I buy a lot of houses. I mean, and I like doing that because I get to help people. You got a dream? You want to move on? Go. Move. I don't care. Leave me the house. Give me the rest of your mortgage on it. I'll take it because I'm in it for the long term. And, you know, a bonus. So I'm a broker. I am not a regular real estate agent. I don't want to list your house. I don't want to take people to open houses on Sundays and talk about how pretty the kitchen is.
Right.
I don't care about all that. I want to buy the house because I'm a control freak, and I want to be able to put somebody in it who probably has bad credit, or they've got a bankruptcy, or they're a lot of small business owners don't qualify for a mortgage.
That's true.
But if they move into my house and they make their payment on time, and because I run it through a company, I can present it to the mortgage broker and say, look, this dude has paid me on time every month for 2 years. And then that shows credit to the mortgage broker where he's like, all right, fine, I'll give him a loan.
Wow.
In the meantime, I've paid down your note.
I'm sorry. We have to pause right there.
Go ahead.
I want our business creators to hear this, especially our business creators who own limited liability companies. And those of us who have LLCs know that the paycheck we take home is not the same thing as our income. Those of us who do tax planning know that while we may be paying ourselves, in effect, poverty wages from five different LLCs that add up to a middle-class paycheck, most lending companies, especially today, are going to look at that and they're going to say, wow, you get a paycheck for $300 a month and you have a student loan for $325 a month. Why haven't you declared bankruptcy yet? And that's the level they actually think at. And I know even renting an apartment as a holder of limited liability companies myself, I already know the drill. There's all this extra documentation I have to provide and adjustments I have to make to the income for X amount of time and everything else to show that I qualify. So I go in there, I get the lease for the place I want, and then I drop my income back down again. So there's little games we have to play. Now, when you're trying to buy a house, that stuff don't fly. Because I tried to buy a house 2 years ago, and it was an absolute disaster, even though I could afford the thing out of my pocket change, basically. It was just a disaster because these underwriters don't look at reality anymore. They look for any excuse to play with you for a while like a cat chasing a mouse and then sink the claws in and throw you off to the side. So what Whitney has just shown you is how an entrepreneur who has limited liability companies can buy a house. You find a situation like what Whitney described where somebody who's an investor has taken over somebody else's mortgage. You move in there, you make the rent payment, but it's the same as a mortgage payment.
Yep.
And then they can go to their buddy who does the mortgages, who they have a high level of trust with, who they speak the shorthand, and they can say, look, I got this guy right here. I got this woman right here. She has been making this payment on time for 2 years. Don't that count for something? And when it's presented that way, when it's put in that package with that bow on it, that's how you get your house with all your little LLCs and your tiny little paychecks that all add up to a middle-class income, but good luck persuading a traditional underwriter.
Exactly. And if I could do one of those every week, that'd be fine. And people will pay me for that because I'm providing a service that nobody else in town has figured out how to do. I'm taking on a risk that nobody else in town has figured out how to monetize.
That's great. Now, I don't know if you can be nationwide. Are you nationwide? And if you're not nationwide, how do we find what you just described for those of us who are business creators? This is key.
Well, I am in Tennessee and in Georgia. My real estate firm is in Tennessee and in Georgia, but I have buddies all over the country who do exactly what I do. And you can connect with me on Facebook or any other way and let me know where you are, and I'll try to connect you with some of my friends who do this. But mostly, if you can look, you can probably type it in to your search bar and find somebody in your town that does this.
Right.
And
what,
a lot of people will say,
phrase?
A really popular one is We Buy Houses.
You can type
in We Buy Houses, any city, and there should be 10 people that come up. And call those 10, and one of them will do what I do. Most of them are going to be wholesalers, and they're not going to be interested, but somebody out of those 10 will do exactly what I do. You can type in lease option, lease to purchase, option to purchase, rent to own. A lot of times people think rent to own is a trailer. It's not. My houses are pretty houses in good school districts, four-sided brick, sometimes with a pool.
Okay. Okay. So
I've had lake houses that I've done this on.
Right. So we buy houses is the key word. And we all see those signs up on the telephone poles.
Everywhere.
Houses. So those are the people you call. All right. Now I understand.
Yep.
Now I get why people are going around buying houses. I didn't really get it until just now. So I get it. So they buy the house to get out of, and then they do this thing you described where they hold the mortgage, and then they find somebody and they move them in who may not have the best credit, or somebody who wants to be in a rent-to-buy situation, and you and let them sit there for 2 years, pay the mortgage through your company, and develop their credit.
It's a beautiful situation. It really is, and it's across the country, and everybody's seen those houses, and sometimes they buy houses for cash, sometimes they like crack houses, sometimes they like pretty houses, but there's at least 10 in every city, and if you start calling them, somebody will do what I do.
Give me a crack house. I'm gonna knock down all the walls and find the stash, and the reason I'm saying that is I'm going to knock down the walls and find a stash of cash. it won't tell nobody. I mean, because you figure a crack house is wrecked, it needs new walls anyway. Who's gonna know? No, I'm just kidding. That is not official advice. I would not recommend that for anybody. But we're having fun here, and if it was a bunch of us, you, me, and some of our listeners, you're sitting around a table, consuming a few of our favorite beverages, somebody would have said that, and we all would have laughed.
Yes, absolutely. I'm laughing now. I didn't say it, but I'm laughing.
I get it. Okay, yeah. And that's the atmosphere we like to have here on the Business Creators Radio Show. It's really like us just hanging out, and sometimes we can say the things that we would say when it's just a few of us out for drinks. And that's the atmosphere I like to maintain around here, because if you can't have fun in business, you might as well fold up your tent and go home.
And I'll tell you, most realtors don't have any fun because they're so bogged down and hustling for those clear to closes that they're missing the opportunity to buy and make a $50,000 check instead of a $5,000 commission. You know, I get so frustrated with realtors because they watch all sorts of other people make big bucks, and they're in the perfect opportunity, but they never step up to the plate. And I'll tell you, the most successful realtors own real estate because they figured out that's where the real money is. It's not in representing other people and making pennies and watching other people make thousands. It's stepping up, buying it, controlling it, and then selling it or holding it forever. You'll make more money over 100 years if you hold it. You got to wait on it.
Yep.
But it's coming.
You know that's funny, because when I first moved to Las Vegas and I wasn't living here yet and I only had 3 days in town to find my first place because I decided I was going to move here and I had to get here quick, a good friend of mine, his sister is a realtor here. So she agreed to take me out and show me some places. And as we're driving along, we'd be going up and down this street, or we'd be going Tenaya Way, which is a really big thing here in Las Vegas. It's a big cross street. And we'd be driving along. She'd point and say, "Oh, I own that one. I got a bid in on that one." And we would be looking.
I like her.
And we were looking at some of the properties that she was showing me. Because I was looking to rent a place for the first year just to get in. And a couple of the listings, she said, "If you don't take this, I'm going to find out who owns it. I'm going to put in a bid."
I like her.
Yeah. And she's doing pretty well for herself.
Most realtors never Yes. No, most realtors won't ever get to that point.
Right. There's a reason why she was able to take a whole day out of her schedule just to help her brother's friend who needed to rent an $800 house place just to get start $800 a month place just to get started in town. There's a reason why she was able to do that at the drop of a dime. It's not because she's hustling and scraping. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
All right.
She likes the first of the month just as much as I do.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's her. I think she celebrates it every single month. So we are getting.
I do.
Yeah, I know. We are getting close to the top of the hour here. We have 10 minutes left before the little man falls off the cliff and we hear the horn. So you gave us some insights on what you're trying to do if you're trying to buy a house and your credit score is low. You find those "we buy houses" people, and you find out if they're holding somebody's house that the person had to move out of town and they gave them the mortgage, move in, pay the mortgage for 2 years through that company, and then they can go to the mortgage company and say, look, they're a good person. I have a history of them with me. Give these people a mortgage, and that's how you buy your house. So really one more question, and this is a little bit different than what we were originally anticipating, but this is something that our listeners want to know, and they can't get enough of this topic. Services like Airbnb have become extremely popular. I know when I travel, I look for an Airbnb rather than a hotel room because I'm not looking to spend $300 for a place I'm basically just going to crash. I just want to crash somewhere that's safe and quiet. So a lot of people are getting in on the Airbnb game. Entrepreneurs who are growing their seed money. In fact, when I stayed in LA, I stayed with this company that owns an information technology company, and they rent out two of the rooms, and that's how they're financing their entrepreneurial venture. They're funding their startup that way. Airbnb can also be a way to get that first $1,500 so you can go buy your piece of land. So a lot of people Airbnb in.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on the whole Airbnb thing, and how can people use what you teach and what you do to leverage that into Airbnb income?
Airbnb has been around forever, okay? They used to be called boarding houses.
Yes.
Where you could rent a room while you were in town, okay? It's been around forever, but now they've put it on the internet, and we've got access to it, and they gave it a cute name.
Right. Yeah, boarding houses, bed and breakfast. I have two friends of mine. They're a couple. They live in New Jersey. They don't do hotels either. They always stay in bed and breakfast situations.
Me too. I love it. I love that personal touch. I love the Airbnb situation. I'm a complete fan because, you know, I may have a nice house on the lake and I've got an elderly couple that lives in it. You know, if I could, I would rent out the other three bedrooms there.
Right.
And make extra money. I mean, it totally makes sense to me. I love it. I don't have any like that. One of my goals is to get a vacation rental that we could do an Airbnb, but I'm having trouble with the taxes.
Right.
The nightly bedroom taxes and that kind of thing. So that's my hang up.
Right. Precisely. So what about... And I'm hearing a little bit about this trend. People who either they rent an apartment or they own a house, they'll buy another house like real close to them. Maybe something with a nice 3 or 4 bedroom setup with a lot of common space, and with the idea that they're going to have 4 Airbnbs running through there every night.
Cool.
Yeah. So is there anything we need to be aware of or anything we need to be cautious about if we go in that direction?
Well, if you're doing the nightly rental, then that's a chance for 4 different people to have a problem every night.
Right.
And, you know, it's one thing to have 4 houses and 4 tenants, and they may fix the toilet if it's leaking. But if you got 4 people looking at 2 different bathrooms and they don't want to share, or, you know, they're whatever, then you just may have more opportunity for more issues. And you're just going to have a lot more wear and tear on the house.
Uh-huh. So basically one tip is...
Because they're moving in.
Yeah, moving in.
They're moving in. They're banging the suitcase against the door.
They're
forgetting to lock it. Or, you know, they're just... I mean, there's just so many little things that could start to look worn out because of more use.
Right. Which is why a lot of the... See what I mean? Go ahead.
The other problem that a lot of people are having, and it's just really popular, I think, in the media right now, are bed bugs.
Interesting.
So you're just going to want to make sure you have a really good bug guy who comes on a very regular basis. And I'll say that for any tenant, like even my rent-to-own houses, sometimes if they're, you know, more towards the crack house section of town, I will still keep a bug guy just so that somebody will go through and make sure that there's not a leak and they put a bucket under it, or to make sure that the roaches aren't completely taken over, or just to make sure it looks like somebody's still there and taking care of the property. I mean, that's a pretty cheap expense, you know, $30 a month or something,
right,
just to have somebody besides me put their eyeballs on my property to make sure it's still being taken care of.
Right. Like,
I'm a big fan of bug guys and insurance agents.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like when I travel out of town, for instance, because I travel pretty frequently, I have people in and out of my place all day long while I'm here. Like, I'll schedule repairs to happen while I'm not here just to put a body in the house. I have cat sitters,
yep,
that come in multiple times a day at different times a day. So you can't case my place and say, well, the cat sitter's going to be here at 11. She'll be gone at 11:30. They intentionally randomize. And sometimes I pay them for three visits,
yep,
that day. You just don't know. So I will have people,
yep,
I mean, I'm a minimalist, so I don't really have a lot of stuff here anyway. My valuables are in another location. But as far as my living space, when I'm not here, I have people moving in and out all day long. You ain't going to case my place. Right, and it's the same thing if you're holding properties. You got to just, because people get, you know, people learn that that's a rental property or no one's actually living there. But if they know there's people moving in and out all the time, suddenly it's not that tantalizing a prospect, because you don't know if you think you're going to burglarize a place and that just happens to be the day the carpet cleaners come in.
Yep.
So just that's a little home safety tip. So we've covered how to buy a house without credit, how entrepreneurs who earn income through limited liability companies can buy houses. We've covered home safety tips. We've covered how to be successful with Airbnb by knowing what to avoid. And just one little tip that came up here before we turn the stage over to you for one more minute is, if you're going to do that thing where you buy a house and it has four bedrooms, so you're thinking you're going to have four Airbnb contracts, buy the one that has four bedrooms and four bathrooms. That way it's one bathroom,
yes,
for everybody. And get a big,
yes,
hot water tank.
We're not in college anymore.
And get a big hot water tank, too, so they all can take a shower.
Yep.
All right. So, Whitney Nicely, this has been a fun time, and we are down to just 2 minutes here. But I want to turn one of those minutes over to you. You said you have something kind of fun for our listeners, just for them tuning in, investing themselves, and taking the time to play here today.
I have a real estate pop quiz, and it's,
nice,
it's fun, it's short, it's very conversational. The website is reipopquiz.com,
right,
so realestateinvestingpopquiz.com, and it'll tell you if you're a real estate nerd or if you're a busybody or what kind of investor you're going to be, but it'll put you on the right track to get started with investing.
Wow, yeah, and you say it's what, just 10 questions?
Yes, and they're fun.
Yeah, now
I think they're fun, but
yeah,
I'm a real estate nerd.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. So the URL for that is REI, like real estate investor, REI, REIPopQuiz.com. That's REIPopQuiz.com. And I took it myself a little before we came on the air, and it's not only very educational, but it's also hilarious. And remember, if you and remember, if you're a business creator who earns income through 10 different limited liability companies, and you can't persuade a traditional underwriter that you actually are rich and not bankrupt by their ridiculous default standards, just contact Whitney Nicely. She knows a guy in your neighborhood.
Yes.
All right.
Or a girl.
Or I was getting ready to say that. See, great minds think alike. I wanted to do the little delay thing, just so that we make sure we make the point very clearly.
Yes.
All right. So Whitney Nicely of Whitney Buys Houses, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and an education.
Thank you, sir.
And for everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and on iTunes, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.